TSN 1290, CFRW Winnipeg. All sports.
Step up and set the tone.
All the time. A division of Bell Media. It's Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. On the official home of the Winnipeg Jets. TSN 1290. Now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
Y'all ready for this?
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. And for all those listening live online, good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Two out of three ain't bad, Richie. Two out of three ain't bad.
That's what Meatloaf said.
Exactly. Exactly what Meatloaf said. For those of you who had not Ezra not making it to the studio on time, you have won your bet. Congratulations. You can collect your winnings at, I don't know where, online at some sort of gambling agency, I think, took the odds on that. Anyways, I'm the host of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by Richard Pollock. Both of us with large cups of coffee.
Yes.
In early this morning, but we're professionals through and through. Ezra will be hearing about this probably for the rest, well, at least the next month.
At least, minimum.
Yeah, minimum he's going to get geared on. Especially because I think Remus, who is here, I should point out, in the other room, is pulling up the audio of Hustler and Lawless predicting that Ezzy wouldn't make it here on time. So, you know, take that opportunity to tease our friend Mr. Ginsburg just a little bit.
Just let everybody know, I mean, we tried to get Ezzy here. Not only did we BlackBerry Messenger him,
yeah,
but we called him.
Oh, yeah.
No answer.
We did our part.
In fact, last night, I was with Ezzy at the Jeff Ross show, comedy show, at the Burton Cummings Theater, which is terrific. I said to Ezzy, I don't trust that you're going to be ready tomorrow morning. Do you want to sleep on my couch?
Interesting.
He said, he considered it and then said, I need my computer.
Why?
Well, first of all, he doesn't get internet in the studio.
He doesn't have internet access on that computer.
I wasn't sure what he was going to be doing from the time we took him home, which is about midnight, till 6 of them. He wasn't going to have anything on his computer.
Interesting. This explains why when we were flying out to New York for my bachelor party,
that's right.
Ezzy and our friend Neil were on the same flight together, and they had a very early morning wake-up call, and why Neil insisted that Ezzy sleep over at Neil's house so that Ezzy would make the flight.
That's absolutely correct.
These are the things that we have to do for our friends here.
Unfortunately, Ezzy is nowhere to be found.
No idea. We'll maybe hear from him at some point, you know. We'll see.
I have, you know, do you want to bet some odds right now, Drew? What time you think Ezzy will arrive?
Well, show starts at 7. It's not like he was out last night late.
No, he wasn't. It's not like he was partying.
No, there's no partying. There's no, you know, dramatic tweets from the account of Ezra Ginsburg today.
I was with him. He was calm.
Yeah.
He had a nice meal.
Yeah.
A nice burger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm going to say 8:45.
I got 8:15.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's our bets. You know, you can tweet us at Illegal Curve if you think you know what time Ezzy's going to make it here. You know, at Illegal Curve. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. Our website is www.illegalcurve.com. The morning papers produced by Dave Manuk, those should be up sometime in the next hour, 90 minutes or so. As soon as those are up, we'll make sure to mention that on there so you can catch up on all of your Winnipeg Jets news ahead of today's, this afternoon's Jets-Penguins game live from Pittsburgh. Puck drop 1 o'clock here on TSN Radio 1290. And Rick Ralph and the official Winnipeg Jets pregame show begins at 12 noon. Hustler and Lawless follow us bright and early also at 10 a.m. Let's look back last night in the NHL. Four games on the ice. Only one of them really had an impact on the Winnipeg Jets, and that would be Carolina at Colorado. Carolina, I mean, still supposedly, you know, playing better hockey as of late. You know, in the Southeast Division being the Southeast Division, you never know.
Yeah.
But you know that one. I mean, I'm clutching at straws when I say impacting the Winnipeg Jets there. Very heavy on the Western Conference last night. Carolina went into Colorado, 4-3 losers in overtime there. Two teams that, we're going to see Colorado, that's next Sunday, I believe.
And Colorado's in the battling, it drew for the playoffs. They're 59 points in 56 games. They are 1 point out of 8th spot, Phoenix.
Yeah.
They're only 3 points out of 7th, and from 7th through 12th, it's 4 point spread. So it's anybody's game. I mean, Colorado's got a lot of young talent, Ryan O'Reilly with the big winner last night. Didn't see the game, obviously, but, you know, this is a team that has dangerous young talent. I don't think you're going to make it. I wouldn't bet Monopoly money on it.
Right.
But you know what? For them to be in it this late, and I think one thing, Drew, and maybe more from a managerial pride perspective. If you're Greg Sherman, if you finish in the first, if you finish in the playoffs or close to it, at least you don't give up a top lottery pick for Varlamov.
Sure.
And you can save face there in some respects, because there's no guarantee. I mean, if you make the playoffs, especially, apparently this draft is like a little bit more top heavy. So you could maybe save a little bit more face. If you're in the top 5 and 10, look at Brian Burke with giving up Dougie Murphy and giving up Tyler Seguin. Not knowing he's giving up those two players, but giving up those kind of draft picks comes back to haunt you.
Right.
The lower the pick, the less the risk there is to that it'll haunt you. The bad trade regardless, but I'm talking about at least saving face somewhat.
I understand. In Buffalo last night, Dallas was in Buffalo. Buffalo won in a shootout 3-2. Dallas hasn't won in Buffalo since they won the Stanley Cup there. However many years ago.
Sabres fans will tell you that's poetic justice because
yeah.
They didn't actually win the cup there. But anyway, you know, Dallas too, Drew, is a team that's kind of on the cusp in terms of, you know, like a contender, not a contender. I mean, it's the eighth spot, remember, right? Some of the Jets. These teams have flaws. There's no doubt about the fact that these teams have flaws. Having Jamie Benn back is huge. It's been great.
Just lost Brandon Morrow, though.
That's a significant one. And it's also significant in terms of the trade value to Brandon Morrow, which we'll talk about later. You know, this is a market. There's going to be a market for him if they decide to sell.
Sure.
So what's going to...
With a guy like that who all he does is, I mean, he's the leader. I mean, he's the, you know, the stereotypical leader right now in the, you know, amongst teams in the NHL.
Well, I think it was Elliot Friedman who wrote about how the teams were scouting him and they were noticing he was ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
Ineffective, excuse me. And so it set off some alarm bells for them. Then he went on the IR soon after. So it
made sense because they said that he's normal. You always notice him,
yes.
Even if he's not, you know. And so to not be noticed was surprising to most scouts in the NHL. In Detroit last night, Detroit Red Wings with a 2-1 shootout win over the white-hot Anaheim Ducks.
Well, the Ducks have trailed off a bit in terms of, you know, the production recently. But, yeah, but still, Drew, I mean, obviously 6-2-2 in their last 10. They went on a huge streak before the break there. They're only 9 points out of the playoffs, which is a little bit crazy considering how bad, poorly they played.
Yeah.
But overall, Detroit hasn't lost at home in, like, 2 months. So it's amazing that the well-oiled machine that is the Detroit Red Wings.
We were talking about this on the way in, and I was unaware of this, that Detroit hasn't lost at home in something like, you said, 15 games.
19 games.
19 games now?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, their home record is 22-2-1. And we say it every year. When is Detroit going to take a step back? I'm just going to stop saying it. It's not worth it.
Well, I mean, I think the craziest, and I agree, Drew, I agree 100%. I think the craziest part, to me,
yeah,
it's 19 straight at home last night, so we're right about that. The craziest part to me is Nicklas Lidström looks great.
Sure.
It's unbelievable. I mean, him, Teemu Selänne, these guys don't age.
No.
And that means a couple of things. They take great care of their body, but they're smart players. And taking great care of your body doesn't just mean taking great care of your body off the ice. It means not putting yourself in harm's way all the time.
Sure. Not playing. I mean, when you're on the ice, you're playing difficult minutes in that you're playing against the top opponents, but you're not playing physically difficult minutes.
And there's been some work done on how Mike Babcock
protects him.
And I think it was JP Jabber's ring. There's a nice video. What happens is sometimes with Nicklas Lidström is the puck gets dumped to his corner, and the Red Wings, in an effort to prolong his career, send the other defenseman back. He's got a little bit further to go. But they'd rather Lidström's defense partner go back. In this case, it'd be Ian White, who makes look good because he makes everybody look good. Take the hit. They'd rather have Lidström not have that. So it's
makes sense.
It's some strategy involved.
Yeah,
it's smarts of the player. But I mean, you have to talk about him for this record Norris this year. Bobby Orr, Doug Harvey territory. Right?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no reason not to. In San Jose last night, the final game last night, the Sharks beat the Blackhawks 5-3. Boy, these Blackhawks are really struggling as of late.
Well, I mean, there's even talk yesterday. I read that, Adrian Dater wrote in Sports Illustrated, and not that he's close to the team, he's a Denver writer, but Adrian Dater in Sports Illustrated tossing out the possibility.
With Joel Quenneville's
job could be on the line, just by citing Peter Laviolette losing his job so quickly after winning the Cup, John Tortorella. I don't think that's the answer at all. They need better goaltending.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday they were practicing the 1-2-2, practicing trapping, and teams, you know, I think they're 29th in the league in goals against. They're in the bottom three, so if you're going to be giving up that many goals, I mean, you know, people, it's funny, I was reading the article, and they were talking about how Chicago, you know, I think it was on Pro Hockey Talk, the Chicago might gasp, go to the trap. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Just about every team plays the trap. The 1-2-2 is essentially every team's neutral zone forecheck. So I don't don't go, oh my God, they're going to the trap. I mean, this is the National Hockey League where every game is 2-1, 3-2. Every game is 3-2 maximum, really.
Yeah.
So don't go, get all caught up in arms because the team's playing the 1-2-2. Almost every team plays the 1-2-2.
Absolutely. Looking forward to today in the NHL, of course, we have the Jets-Penguins game, Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day here on TSN 1290. That's at 1 o'clock. It's Hockey Day in Canada, the traditional celebration of the game that we know and love so dear. Edmonton at Ottawa, that's also going to be at 1 o'clock. Montreal at Toronto is your early game, national televised game, and then 10 o'clock Vancouver at Calgary.
Great games.
All pretty decent games. In terms of games that matter to the Winnipeg Jets in the Southeast Division.
Well, one thing, Drew, quickly getting in there, aside from Edmonton, really, every one of those games matters. For the other six Canadian teams, for Winnipeg, for Ottawa.
You think Montreal still has a chance?
Well, Montreal you put in there too. So five of the teams. I mean, Vancouver, Calgary's battling it out for that last spot. Vancouver's obviously, you're wanting to get home ice advantage. That's so important.
Yeah.
I mean, it's important games. Toronto, Ottawa is more important than it's been in years.
Absolutely, except it's Toronto, Montreal.
Sorry, Toronto, Montreal, excuse me. Toronto, Montreal, and then Ottawa, Edmonton.
Yeah,
exactly. So that's that early in the morning.
Yeah, it is. It's awfully early. I'll let it slide. In terms of games that matter to the Winnipeg Jets, Florida plays at New Jersey.
Boy, I tell you.
I mean, that's a very big game.
Look at New Jersey.
We look way up, looking to fifth spot in the Eastern Conference.
Ahead of Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
3 points behind Philly?
Yeah.
I mean, the New York Rangers are playing unbelievable hockey, have been all year. But the New Jersey Devils is a team we identified in the show a number of months ago, even, as a dangerous team. They add in Alexei Ponikarovsky. Travis Zajac is now, his Achilles is healthy. He just needs to build up more strength. Should be back in about a month. When you get
That's a hell of a trade deadline acquisition there. I mean, which is really what you consider it. That's what you're getting.
They could add maybe another defenseman at the deadline. Maybe another fourth liner. They don't need to do that because, they really ride their horses. But it's a team, again, that is well coached. It's done a great job. And I wouldn't want to play. And they're moving away from the upset territory because they're moving into it close to the four spot.
That's right. They're going to be in that 4-5-6 logjam by the looks of it. I mean, very closely. Anyways, Florida, New Jersey, big game. Jets fans will keep an eye on that one.
It's an advantage for the Jets because the Jersey's a better team than Florida.
Yeah. Tampa Bay at Buffalo later on this evening. Tampa Bay, battling out in the Southeast still.
Tampa Bay is, Drew, you mentioned Carolina. Tampa Bay's at 1 point ahead of Carolina, so.
That's right. So, I mean, neither team really you expect to be much of a... But, Washington not on today. They play tomorrow afternoon.
They have that Rangers game tomorrow, right?
I believe that's it.
That's the NBC game.
The NBC. Washington at the Rangers tomorrow.
And so,
Florida plays back-to-back also tomorrow. So that's where they get one of their games.
Who does Florida play tomorrow?
They play at Long Island.
Okay, so Florida plays Jersey. Jersey's got the advantage. Washington plays Rangers. Rangers got the advantage. Florida plays Islanders. I mean, you could... probably Florida has the advantage, but not by much. This is a place here. I know the Jets play Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
If they can pull out even a point, they could gain ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, that's all you got to do. If you can... I mean, it's hard place to win, but if you can somehow pull off that 1 point, then you consider a successful game.
The Zach Bogosian issue...
We'll talk about that. Okay. We'll talk about that. We're going to focus on the Jets in the second hour primarily. Figure let everybody wake up a little bit and then hit them with the Jets.
Including
Ezzy, wherever he may be. Anyways, let's leave it there. When we come back on the other side, we'll go around the NHL with NHL news and notes. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the program. A special mention regarding Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day. Any pizza ordered today from Santa Lucia, proceeds of which, a certain percentage of proceeds, are going to the Pass It Forward Hockey Equipment Program. So if you're sitting around and you're looking to order a little midday lunch, order it from Santa Lucia because you get some proceeds go to the Pass It Forward Hockey Equipment Program. Great program we've spoken about before on this program.
As opposed to like a midday breakfast or midday dinner or...
Well, I mean, I don't... If you want to order pizza at 10:30 in the morning, I'm not going to stop you. I mean, I wouldn't be on my... I probably have done the same. I've eaten cold pizza at least at 10:30 in the morning. I don't know about ordered a fresh pizza.
You saw that cold pizza show on ESPN?
I don't know. I don't think it was very good, so I don't think I ever listened to it to begin with.
True.
Anyways, let's go around the NHL. Some NHL news and notes. I want to start with Dominic Moore's hit on Ruslan Fedotenko.
Dominic Moore's a dirty player, Drew. I mean, I know there's a whole Steve Moore background of everything, and I think that still gets in there in terms of, Steve Moore was victimized by Todd Bertuzzi. And, well, let's I mean,
are they brothers?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
The Moors, I mean, the Moors play a... Steve Moore wasn't the cleanest guy ever around.
Right.
And now Bertuzzi went over the line. Doesn't mean the Moore's clean. Dominic Moore's a chippy player, has always been on the edge. And that was a dirty hit. Straight up dirty hit. They fined him $2,500. That's the problem with the league.
That's
fine. $2,500.
That's the part I was confused about. I mean, Ruslan Fedotenko doesn't have the puck anywhere near him. It just seems like that's a tailor-made six-game suspension.
So what's your problem with the league, right?
I mean, I watched the clip, and I was absolutely stunned that it's a $2,500 fine.
$2,500 fine is a CBA rule, but I mean,
yeah, that's all you can fine a guy.
It's like charging me $2.
Well, it's all you can fine a guy, the maximum. Fedotenko is nowhere near the puck, not playing the puck. Moore just comes by and hits him with an elbow right to the head.
Shoulder more to the head, I thought it
was.
It was intentional. And it was a dirty play by, to me, a guy who plays on the edge, and he should be reprimanded for it. That should be a suspension. And it's more significant, fine. Obviously, you lose a salary when you're suspended, so...
I can't figure out what Brendan Shanahan's logic there was in not suspending him.
Very odd.
I mean, it didn't appear to be incidental. I mean, I think...
You know, Drew, the problem I have is... And Shanahan's done a good job overall. The problem I have is stay strong.
Yeah.
Be consistently strong. If you consistently hand out significant suspensions, people will stop doing what they're doing. But if you pick and choose... That's the problem. That, to me, was a tailor-made suspension. And I'm not talking, you know, you could say one game. I'd say 2 to 3. And it's enough already.
At least. I mean, I thought that was a no-brainer, really. I mean, I thought he's come down on harder on some calls that were more iffy than that one.
That always brings me back to, you know, Nathan Horton.
Sure.
Seeing the news that he's skating. He's a setback.
Yeah. He's out with a concussion.
It was hit by Tom Sestito this year. But last year.
Tom Sestito is a guy who's been fined and suspended about 1,000 times this year.
Sabatmi just fights. He doesn't do anything. He just brings nothing to the table.
Right.
Last year in the finals, obviously, getting hit by the Canucks' Aaron Rome. Rome got suspended for the rest of the playoffs there. Even so, look at Horton. I know Horton came back. Horton's out again. What do you think it stems from? It's amazing to me that like a superstar, a guy who scores 30 goals, up and down, power winger, plays the number one line on the Stanley Cup winning team. It's like, oh, you know, the guy who got hit, you hit him, you know, a few games, that guy may not be ready for the rest of his career. And it's just, we just don't talk about it again.
The NFL protects their star players. In the NFL, the quarterbacks are the stars, and you can practically not touch a quarterback anymore.
Absolutely.
And people say, you know, and people joke about it, but at the same time, it makes sense because the league is only as good as your star players, as your quarterbacks in the NFL. The NHL doesn't have the same policy. The NHL is very concerned about protecting the bums in the league, the guys who are fringe players at best. And I think that's a function of the PH primarily wanting everybody to stay employed as opposed to protecting your top 100 players who are the ones that people are actually paying tickets to see. Nobody's paying a penny to see Tom Sestito.
No.
They're not.
It's more so that, to me, the more so, you know, the issues with some of the hits and especially that one back in the playoffs last year. But Drew, you're right. I mean, you protect the stars, you protect the players. And I don't understand I don't understand these hand slaps that have been given out by Shanahan.
Yeah,
who I think has done a pretty good job overall.
And it's not like that would even be a difficult suspension to level. It's not like Tampa Bay's in the midst of a tight playoff race.
Very true. It's not like it's their number one center.
No, it's not like Steve Yzerman's
going to call... He's a trade deadline candidate, if anything.
It's not like Steve Yzerman's going to call him up and say, how can you do this to us? You know, he's a key component of our team. Yeah, whatever. He's Dominic Moore. You're not winning or losing with Dominic Moore. It was a blatant headshot.
I know Ovechkin is a repeat offender, so I'll qualify that.
Right.
He got 3 games for his hit. I was watching that game when he made that hit, and he jumped into the player, I'm forgetting who it was, but Washington's getting 3 games and Moore's getting nothing for that.
I watched it a few times because I saw it and I'm like, well, there's no suspension for that. Fedotenko's I made a point of checking, where's the puck? Is Fedotenko playing the puck and maybe Moore aims for a lower target and hits him too high?
It's dirty play. There's no other way around.
There was no puck around him. It seemed like the only intent that Moore had there was malice.
To me, it did. Absolutely.
I honestly have no idea what Brendan Shanahan was seeing in that play to not suspend him and to give him a relatively, you know, decent suspension, at least a multiple game suspension. That one bothered me in the past week. And there's very few in the NHL that really bother me anymore because I'm cynical and jaded about the whole thing about headshots. That one bothered me. And, I mean, I think he's neutered himself going forward for a little while based on that poor decision in my mind. You know, we're bound to find out. But I found that one to be troubling. Winter Classic. Worst kept secret finally announced. Red Wings against the Toronto Maple Leafs at the Big House in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Your thoughts? Excited? Think it's going to draw anything, or do you think it's too regional?
No, I think it's a good idea. I mean, you put original six teams together. You put the Detroit Red Wings there. I mean, they're appointment viewing, the Leafs or whatever. But you have some players in the Leafs that'll have a draw. You'll get down half a crowd from Toronto, half a crowd from Detroit there, and then the surrounding areas. I like the idea of splitting it in both the Comerica Park and obviously at the Big House. I have no issues with it at all.
Do you think that casual American viewers might tune out because it involves a Canadian team?
Like, what are we talking about here?
These are the concerns that I promise you that these are the concerns that NBC would have brought forward to the NHL.
The NHL should worry on increasing its ratings overall, not artificially increasing its ratings by only putting the big teams in these kind of games. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah. Like, play the best games as opposed to just random teams. I mean, like, you know, why is Washington on national TV tomorrow? What have they done to deserve to be on national TV?
Yeah.
That's a fair point. I mean, and we've said that.
What's wrong with the Leafs? I mean, if you watch the Leafs, I have a lot of criticism about the Leafs. You know, the Leafs over the past few years. One thing you can say about the Leafs:
they don't play a boring style.
They play an exciting brand of hockey, and so does Detroit. It's actually, now I know the ice conditions obviously play a significant factor here. Those are two teams that would be a very exciting game to watch. So I like that. Sell the game. And enough about trying to cater to this and try to cater to that. You only put the NBC games are only always Boston, New York, New Jersey, New York, Washington.
Yeah, it's just
Washington,
the same
Pittsburgh, the same five teams.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the, you know, the Northeast United States teams, or, you know, the Bosnia-Wash metropolis, Boston, New York, Washington.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, that's all. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I understand it, but
and you know what? An appeal. If you're not going to have a Heritage Classic, but you're appeal to both, appeal to Canada and the States. Although Canadians will watch any kind of hockey.
That's true. What do you make about the chatter of the Heritage Classic coming to Winnipeg?
It's a good idea. I don't know who in their right mind wants to sit outside in Winnipeg in February, like today. But I think it's a great idea. I think the stadium's going to be beautiful. I think there's a passion here. It'll sell easily. And let's just cut into this right now because there's a new man who's entered the studio.
Good morning.
He looks sharp.
What's up, boys?
Not much. How are you?
You know, I was late. You're right. Let's get that.
We know.
Let's get that. Let's get that. You know, let's clear the air right there. Are you guys still talking about the Winter Classic?
Do you mind telling us where you were?
My alarm was set to Montreal time.
So you're Nathan Horton. Sorry, Tyler Sagan is what you're saying.
It would have gone off an hour early.
Exactly. By the way, it's good to be back.
Oh, you were late. Gone in my
Yeah, you were gone last week. I forgot about that.
You didn't even notice, Drew, did you?
Nah.
Richie noticed. Richie sent me a nice welcoming gift basket when I got back.
Do you have any thoughts on the Winter Classic?
I was listening. I think this is awesome. I think it's about time that there's a Canadian team in the Winter Classic. And I think when you put two original six teams in it, and then you throw in the Michigan State versus Michigan college game, there's a college game.
Is there at the Big House or at Comerica Field?
Big
junior
House. Game.
I know there's some junior games, and there's an AHL game.
Events that focus on the NHL event.
There might be some college games.
Isn't there a college game as well?
The former star event, that's always the best one. I mean, they're trying to get Eiserman out for that one. So
he said no, apparently.
Whatever.
I don't understand. Like, why wouldn't you play it? Like, these guys, like, really, Steve Eiserman or any of these general managers who can't take a day off from their other team that they're currently with? I mean, you know, there's some things that transcend, you know, your day-to-day activities.
Especially looking at that Philly game with the way Bobby Clark and Eric Lindros were received and just, like, the atmosphere. All those guys had the highlights of their careers.
You know what's going to make the Winter Classic? If Gordie Howe can come out and take a shift.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
I mean,
that would be incredible.
That would be incredible.
The first octogenarian to ever play in 9 decades.
Just seeing Gordie Howe playing hockey again. I mean, you know, he's hockey royalty. Yeah. Him and Jean Beliveau. You know, whenever you see Jean Beliveau show up at the Bell Center on those Saturday night games, you know, when it's a special game, you know that you're dealing with hockey royalty on those days.
Absolutely.
And they transcend the current game. And, you know, can you imagine the ovation that Gordie Howe would get when he walks out onto the ice in front of 110, 115,000 people?
True, Drew. Great point.
Yep.
That would be a chill-inducing moment for a league that has far too few chill-inducing moments.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll be included as long as he's healthy and able.
Always, it's funny, yeah. You know, people, they honor the history. Detroit honors history. It's funny how people in Montreal say, you know, you shouldn't honor the history anymore. You have to focus on the current team. It's like, no. Management has to focus on the current team. Okay? Management has to focus on the current team. The fans want to see the past teams and the present teams. It's like the New York Yankees. Have the New York Yankees ever been affected by honoring their history? No, because they put a good team on the field every year. It's not that.
No. I mean, exactly. You honor your history. You embrace your history. By saluting your history, all you're going to do is show your current players the standard that we expect them to live up to.
Exactly.
You know, if you keep running away from if you have a celebrated history and you keep running away from it,
right.
You're just any other team.
That's right, exactly. And I was just going to say, like you guys said, that is another reason why this was a good choice. And I imagine this is a decision that's made, well in advance. But if you look at the pre-sale tickets that were already offered.
They
crashed the website. So obviously, you know, that's a sign of, you know, I don't even know why people would think they'd be able to buy tickets already. But it's a year from now. But hey, you know, you want to make sure that you've got your ticket, right?
I think it's the lottery to get into the ticket,
exactly.
Something like that. But whatever it is, yeah. It's going to be exciting. It should be a great spectacle in front of 115,000 people. It'll look great on television.
Right. To this point, I think I don't really remember who said it, but it's not important. It's the idea, and it's that the Winter Classic should replace the All-Star Game. And I would happen to agree with that and think that maybe there should even be a Winter Classic and a Heritage Classic or some form of two outdoor games in one year. It's been that much of a success that the television ratings are on par with any Super Bowl like equivalent for hockey. So it's going to be exciting.
You know what you should do? If you're really trying to grow the game,
yeah.
You have the Heritage Classic or the Winter Classic in. Especially the Heritage Classic in non-NHL cities. Like, why not give Regina a Heritage Classic?
Like a neutral zone game?
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea.
Why not give Halifax one? These guys don't see NHL hockey. Make it a spectacle.
It's an interesting idea. I mean, it's just a matter of what team's going to give up.
You guarantee them the home gate that they would have got.
Yeah. That's interesting. I'm going to have to ponder that a little bit more. Let's leave it there. When we come back...
I come up with good ideas early in the
morning. Every now and then, yeah.
Pretty early in the morning.
You're much smarter in the morning than you are in the afternoon, apparently. Anyways, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the program. Shortly past 7:30, bright and early in the morning, here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our guests... Coming up this morning at 8:30, Mike Colligan is going to join us. He covers the Pittsburgh Penguins for HockeyWriters.com and for Forbes.com. At 9 a.m., we're going to be joined by Arthur Staple of Newsday. He covers the New York Islanders. We're going to talk some Isles hockey. They're had a good free agent, a good re-signing of a player this week.
They did, and you know, the Islanders are my Valentine's Day date.
That's true. You and the Islanders with a nice...
Me and Franz Nilsson.
Yeah, a nice romantic night at the MTS Center.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner alone.
Dinner, hot date,
dinner with friends,
dinner alone.
Yeah. And then at 9:30 this morning, Craig Button's going to join us from TSN, NHL Network. Mm-hmm. You know, going to get some insight. He does a lot of draft work, so we'll talk about the trade deadline. You know, former general manager, of course. So, you know, take us into what's going on, inside the boardrooms of various NHL teams as the trade deadline rapidly approaches on Monday, February 27th. A reminder, we have extensive coverage of the trade deadline here on TSN 1290 starting at 7 a.m. or about, pardon me, 6 a.m. I believe with Troy and Jay. And we're going to be on from noon until 4. That's Monday, February 27th for the trade deadline activity. Do you guys want to do Tim Thomas? Do you want to do Lindy Ruff and Tom Rennie both being injured in practice? Or do you want to do Jeremy Roenick wanting to buy the Phoenix Coyotes?
Well, it's a perfect fit because Jeremy Roenick would just talk and not do anything.
Well, it seems like that would be... Then he's a perfect match for the NHL
perfect match for the NHL and for Phoenix.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk and not do anything.
Why does he talk so much?
That's just what he is. It's just who he is.
I mean, he's getting to the point of being quite annoying, I would have to say.
That's years ago, but now he's going to talk. I mean, how does he have enough money to buy the Coyotes and in the group he's going to put together? Who's going to buy a team that's guaranteed to lose that much money? I mean, just take the logic test. It's a joke. I mean, three more groups are interested in buying the Coyotes. Okay. So are they going to Phoenix? Sorry, are they going to Quebec or are they going to Seattle? Don't tell me anybody's interested in buying Phoenix anymore, Gary. Nobody's drinking the Kool-Aid, Gary.
Hang on. That's Gary Bettman, yeah. Not Gary Lowes, for the record.
Yeah, no,
Gary Bettman there.
and that should be qualified because on TSN 1290, you know, Gary
there's only one Gary.
Yeah, exactly.
There's only one Gary.
Nobody's drinking the Kool-Aid anymore. So the question is, are you going to go to Seattle or are you going to Quebec? And right now, Seattle kind of seems made up.
Well, no. There's a lot of smoke, apparently, where that is. There's the Seattle, I'm not sure the name of the newspaper in Seattle, but apparently they've done access to information requests that say, you know, sounds like the deal is pretty close to getting done there, where they're going to build that joint NBA-NHL arena.
Is it joint? Or is it just for the NBA?
Well, you know, there was an article on Deadspin where they, you know, and not being, you know, Deadspin as a good source in this case, of their usual
not
stuff.
Not you drunk passed out at the bar.
Exactly. Me and Rob Gronkowski partying together. But, you know, where it sounds like that deal to build that arena in Seattle is pretty close to getting underway. And then you had the report from earlier this week that the same deal is almost underway in Quebec where they're almost going to start digging.
Yes, that report came up. The question is, does the person, I forget his name, looking to buy Seattle want to buy a hockey team?
Well, I mean, it sounds like it sounds like they're working together. So, I mean, if you own the arena, you probably do want to buy, put as many dates as you can in there.
What if you can't sell the tickets?
Well, that's the question. I mean,
Drew,
to me, it looks like Quebec City seems like the more logical option. You have a hockey crazy city.
Exactly. And I don't want to say that it's really the only option, but there's one huge thing that I don't think anyone's talking about with Seattle. They haven't ever had an NHL team. That's a little bit significant here. As far as I'm concerned, Quebec City makes a lot of sense. There's also a problem with Quebec City, and I'm not dashing anybody's hopes because I think I speak for everyone here in saying that we'd love for Quebec City to get a team back. I'm going to go on the record and say that right now. But there is one huge fundamental difference between Quebec City and Winnipeg. Winnipeg had an ownership and an arena just waiting for an NHL team. And
but the
in
question
Quebec City,
is,
you have, well, if this happens and this might happen and this might happen, well, yes, okay, you might be able to put a team in. If the NHL needed to, I guess they could put a team in Le Colisée, but they don't want to do that.
Let me ask you something about the Le Colisée.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not up to NHL standards, okay?
It's like the Winnipeg Arena's never left.
Okay.
That's what Le Colisée is.
Even so, I don't think it's that bad, but even so, nobody goes to the games in Phoenix. They're selling these tickets for like,
right,
you know, 10% on
right.
face value for these buffet deals. Nobody's in these boxes. Nobody's making any money there. You couldn't sell every ticket to the Colisée and make more money than you're making in Phoenix right now?
I'm pretty
you
sure.
You certainly could, but
so
I mean,
what's the issue with waiting there until you have the new arena built?
Were they playing at the Colisée?
Why not?
There's, as far as I'm concerned, there's no issue there necessarily.
Knowing that an arena's going to be built for the 2013-14 season.
They moved to other cities. Ottawa without the arena, in the midst of the arena building.
Ottawa played at the Civic Center.
Colorado's at the McNichols Arena. Well, the Pepsi Center was built soon after that.
Yeah.
Dallas moved to Reunion Arena, which was a dump before they built the American Airlines Center, or arena, whatever it's called.
There is no the NHL seems to be fine with staying in Phoenix as long as the city of Glendale is willing to still give them the $25 million a year.
Which is preposterous. And we've talked about that at length. But anyhow, I mean, maybe Seattle will work and maybe both will work. But there's certainly enough
the struggling franchises that they, yeah, I mean, if somebody wants
okay, the Jets play Florida.
Yeah.
Huge game last week. Jets play Florida. Mm-hmm. There's nobody there.
No, we know that.
Nobody cares.
We know that.
Come on, nobody cares.
And it's not. I mean, you know, there's a small group contingent of hardcore fans, and you know, salute them for their dedication.
Small group contingent of small hardcore basketball fans, Winnipeg, and then baseball. It doesn't mean we have a team.
Doesn't mean that's right. I mean, that's why it doesn't work. You know, fundamentally. I mean, you know, when the guy bought the Florida Panthers, who owns them now? I forget his name. But when the guy bought him, he bought him for nothing, including the arena.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the problem that they have in Florida is it's not like the Heat are playing at that arena also. It's just an arena for the Panthers.
Yep.
And
nobody cared about.
Which nobody cares about. I mean,
a game like 10 years ago, nobody cared
right,
about it.
Right, and we all know that, exactly, and we all know that they haven't made the playoffs year after year after year, and that's affected them. They had a lot of success right off the bat, and it's on the
But it's not like anybody's even waiting for them. They're in first place right now in the division. They're third.
Okay.
They're third in the conference.
Right.
Because of that first designation of the
right.
top three. Nobody's there.
Yeah, and that should be.
They're on the bandwagon.
That should be improving ticket sales definitely, and it's not. And the fan base there.
They played 53 games. They're in third place in the conference, tied with Washington. Nobody goes to the games. Don't tell me you're waiting for a winner.
The question pretty much, the question then it boils down to: at what point will anybody ever show up? Because I mean, maybe if they make another desperate run to the Stanley Cup Finals,
so people show up that one time and then they won't show up again.
Florida as a state is a terrible professional sports.
It's like Atlanta.
Yeah, anything in the people think that professional sports is the be all and end all, but really when you think about Florida,
college.
It's all college. Yep. And you think about Georgia, it's all college and NASCAR.
Absolutely.
It's SEC country.
Yep.
And nothing, no NHL, no NBA, matches the fervor for SEC country.
If he didn't have the show of the Big Three, nobody
would be there. Nobody
goes to the baseball. I mean, they have a new stadium now, but nobody goes to the baseball games.
Nobody goes to Tampa.
Ever.
Guys, if I could go back to the Phoenix Coyotes ownership situation.
Nobody goes to the Dolphin games.
And Jeremy Roenick here.
Yeah.
And you know... I guess it came out in the Arizona Republic, right? Is that where the...
Yeah, he just made his comments everywhere. He's, okay. You know, he gets a mic and he goes crazy.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so the main problem here, as far as I'm concerned, is forward progress here. I mean, it's enough already. It's time to really find an owner, because as far as I'm concerned, what's happening here with Jeremy Roenick is that he was approached...
I don't believe that Jeremy Roenick was actually approached for anything. I think Jeremy Roenick saw a camera.
Okay, so
Thing more boring than talking about the Phoenix Coyotes off the ice is watching the Phoenix Coyotes on the ice.
Right. They're pretty boring.
But Richie, you know what I'm
successful,
saying?
Successful, but boring.
Okay, let's say he wasn't even approached and he just started talking about it. For that to turn into Jeremy Roenick might be a part owner, just the fact that that is how the narrative changes.
Gary Bettman, man, that's his.
It's enough of this. We've been through. Little John was going to buy the Atlanta Thrashers, and you know, even though Anson Carter had a great career, he was never really a serious. Remember,
these guys don't have the money.
Exactly.
Or you know, if you have $100 million,
why are you buying this team?
If you have $100 million, right. Good for you. That's a lot of money. But you don't spend your entire net fortune on the Atlanta Thrashers or on the Phoenix Coyotes.
Money losing ventures. You're smart businessmen. If they made this much money,
you should be buying Facebook IPO.
And pretty sure.
Want to talk about Thomas?
Well, yeah. Let's talk about quickly. I mean, Tim Thomas, you know, posted another comment to his Facebook page, and when asked about it in the media, went a little bit nuts.
I didn't say it went nuts, Drew. I think I got defensive after a while. People were asking him questions about his personal life.
It's not his personal life when you post it on Facebook anymore.
If I write
on Facebook, I hate Richard Pollock, somebody might ask me, why am I writing that on Facebook if it's true?
To a point. I can see your point there. I just don't know what the
point... He's a professional athlete.
What are the point of the questions at this point? You know where he stands on things.
So you just answer the questions. You don't
What are the questions? Like, what are they related to? Are they related to his job?
Is he a distraction? That's the question I'm asking you guys.
Not if he saves pucks at .940 save percentage.
You don't think that he's a distraction for his teammates? If this continues, if he keeps becoming more and more political as the year goes on, and he keeps posting more and more comments regarding whatever is on his mind?
If anything, if he continues to play at that rate, and that's an insane rate to sustain, he's had unbelievable numbers, he's been a great goalie for the past few years. If he continues to play that rate and he draws that much attention to himself, you know what he's doing.
He's drawing it away from his teammates?
Yeah, why not? If he can keep playing well, who cares?
I think Richie makes a
good... The first slip-up, though, then the first time there's a bump in that road, it's a pretty big bump.
If it gets that bad, Drew, you throw in Tuukka Rask. I mean, this team's stacked, man.
Look, I'm not arguing about that. I'm just saying, I mean, if you read the comments that were made by the people anonymously, of course, because cowards like to make anonymous comments, in the Boston Bruins organization said about him, you know, for his sake, I hope he keeps winning, because the second he starts not playing well, he's going to be on the first train out of town there by the sounds of it.
Drew, I know I'm inside your head, and I know you
get
want
me out of my head.
You want me out of there. But this is kind of the thing. And Richie's right. Tim Thomas he has the support of that entire dressing room, and he is an excellent goalie, and he was phenomenal.
I don't think he has the support of that entire dressing room.
Well, on,
I
the,
think
ice,
on the ice he does.
On the ice he does. That's the, what I was saying. Okay. On the ice, he has the support. When he goes out there, they know Timmy Thomas has been our guy for a long time. We've won a cup with him. He has our back. As far as what he's doing, Drew, with the Facebook and his decision not to go to the White House, I think it's just bringing... I think it's great that he's willing to voice his opinion and stand up for what he believes in. But I think it might be adding a little stress to his it might be. I don't know, but I don't think if anything it reflects bad on the organization.
I agree. He's
basically deciding to make comments, and you know what? When you're not on the ice or you're not representing the Boston Bruins and you have a Facebook page or a Twitter page, I'm sorry, but you can say whatever you want.
And then they can ask you about it.
Yeah, and then he can choose to say nothing.
Yeah. And in another point, too, like, is he missing practices?
No.
Missing games? So why do the players care?
It's a fair point.
To be honest with you, Drew, one more thing quickly. In this day and age, if you're right wing, left wing, center, libertarian, whatever, and you want to tell people about it, you have the right. I mean,
you absolutely have the right.
There's no reason to not say, not voice your opinion anymore. And to be honest with you, I think that the media have attacked him a little bit. I'm in Tim Thomas's corner on this. It's the double standard
of the media. You don't say anything. You don't give us your political views. And sometimes they take that for being shallow. As soon as you say your political views, if they're the least bit out of line with what the media believes to be the right way, quote unquote, then you get chastised for it.
What do you want? Yeah, there's a reason why journalists can't say which party that they support. I mean, there's a reason why most of these guys don't make these comments, because they're so afraid that they know that's going to come.
That's right.
Now Tim Thomas is out there. Really, Tim Thomas can really become he's already been an outspoken personality. Maybe we're going to see Tim Thomas on CNN with Anderson Cooper and Wolf Blitzer pretty soon. He's going to be like fun.
I think there's more chance we're going to see you with Wolf Blitzer and Anderson Cooper. Anyways, let's leave it there. When we come back, we're going to talk trade deadline. You're listening to Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the program. This segment is brought to you by the Cheer Bar and Grill, located in the heart of Osborne Village at Stradbrook and Osborne. Catch all of the home team's games on their numerous HD big screens. It's also the Illegal Curve home away from home whenever the Jets are on the road. So you can be sure to join us usually at the Cheer Bar and Grill.
On Thursday night, we gave away a Winnipeg Jets cheer jersey to Lauren.
We did.
That was awesome.
I walked in about 5:45 there, and Ezzy was already doing shots.
Water shots.
You tried to convince me it was vermouth. I'm like, you didn't shoot vermouth. Nobody shoots vermouth.
Drew, my alcoholism is not a segment topic here.
Actually, it probably should be, if you ask me. Nothing better than a citywide intervention or something along those
lines.
Citywide? Yeah.
Just have an intervention along the Red River.
You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And the website is www.illegalcurve.com, where the NHL Winnipeg Jet morning papers are soon to be posted.
Yeah, where's Dave Minuk?
I don't know where Dave Minuk is. He's,
I thought I told you guys.
Apparently, he hit his news alarm along with Ezzy.
Yeah, you know, he's been posting them
a little bit later.
I got to be honest, hearing that Remus has some type of clip of Gary Lawless on HNL saying that he put his name on the line makes me a little bit nervous, because when someone puts your name on the line and then you prove them wrong,
I don't blame you. I blame Gary for having poor judgment.
Yeah, I agree.
That's just strikes me as poor judgment.
We know you well. We didn't put our name on the line.
No, in fact, I bet against you. That's how well I know you, is that I bet against you.
Did Vegas have a line for whether I would make this show or not?
The impressive part is you were able to make it to all those 6 a.m. shows between Christmas and New Year's, when you really, I mean, you know, it's more of a social party sort of time of the year.
Yeah.
And you were bright and early, 6 a.m. for all those
shows.
Bright
and early.
You're the guy who takes off the regular season and pops up for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to get the beard going.
Good. That'll look nice.
Last night, I'm telling you right now, Richie was talking with us off air. Last night, we went to see Jeff Ross at the Burton Cummings Theater. Remus was there in the front row, right in the middle. It was so good. You know, I guess I slept in a little bit because it was that funny. He did a mini roast, and it was unbelievable. But you we have 2 hours coming up here. I'm good to go.
Let's quickly talk. Remus was in the front row of Jeff Ross.
Let's not talk about that right now.
No, let's talk about that for a second. Remus is in the front row for Jeff Ross. If you know, Jeff Ross is the roast master general.
Right.
Remus was in the front row and then realized that he could be a roasting victim.
Yep.
And so he was sitting there, tripping out, And I was in the first balcony. I was watching Remus trip out. He looked really nervous. He was on his phone. He couldn't really look straight. And this was entirely the half an hour before the show. And then during the opener, who went at the front row, and then during Jeff Ross. And you could see Remus has this loud cackle. Didn't unveil the loud cackle throughout the entire show.
No
in
cackle.
In fear that Jeff Ross would roast the show, tweeted that he avoided Jeff Ross getting roasted by Jeff Ross, and then Jeff Ross favorited it.
Really?
Yeah. Really? I didn't realize that. Anyways, Paul Gostad, Buffalo Sabres, supposedly on the trade block, unrestricted. He's an RFA after this year. Do you expect him to be to move out of Buffalo after a very disappointing year for the Sabres?
Well, you know what? A guy like Paul Gostad, Drew, if on the market, will gather a lot of attention because he's big. He can win faceoffs. He can do the little things for you. Guys like that aren't always available. If a guy like
he's a UFA. No, yeah, he's not an RFA. Yes, that's an error on the website.
But think about it in terms of what he adds, right? He's making 2.3. He's a pending UFA.
Yeah.
Guys who win draws, and we're going to talk about this a little later with a guy like Jim Slater.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're going to break my
heart. Let's bring it up right now.
You're going to break my heart.
Well, I mean, Jim Slater's a guy who I think, especially if Tuomo Ruutu gets re-signed in Carolina, which sounds like it might be a possibility now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, weird. Because I don't think his market value could be any. And I know it's hard to replace a guy like that, and you're not going to get a 10 for him, but maybe Carolina's looking for one of those turnaround seasons next year, so I can understand it somewhat. But it's not kind of odd if you can get a big market for him. But back to Slater and Gostad.
If Ruutu stays in Carolina, it's only going to increase Jim Slater's appeal on the open market, because he's a guy who, you know, he's not as good as Tuomo Ruutu. But he wins faceoffs. Yep. He's very responsible. He does the little things, quote unquote. Yep. He can pretty much fit seamlessly into most any lineup.
Absolutely.
Pending UFA.
A lot of teams would have interest in him.
If you're the Jets, you want Tuomo Ruutu to stay in Carolina.
True, because you want to increase the market for yourself. Now, you know what, Ezzy? I mean, you're talking about Ruutu more of a top six role and Slater more of a checking line center. But even so, less forwards does increase the market. But to me, the Jets have to look at what it costs to resign Slater, because he plays tough minutes.
Sure.
And on a younger team, I think that playing those tough minutes is important. And I think he's done a really good job. He drives that line, as far as I'm concerned. He can skate. He can win draws. He can score a little bit. He definitely can play well defensively. Mm-hmm. I think you consider what it costs to first of all, you check what he's worth on the market. If he's not worth a ton, you consider what it costs to resign him.
Yep.
But you have to either resign him or you have to trade him. You can't let, a team like the Jets have right now, or any team for that matter, the team like the Jets have right now, you cannot allow a player to walk in free agency without getting any compensation for him.
That's an inexcusable error when it does happen. I agree with you for the most part there. Personally, what I'm more of a fan of, and I don't know why more teams don't really employ this, if the guy gets dealt at the trade deadline, there's nothing precluding you from going out and trying to re-sign him in unrestricted free agency.
No, you can't make a handshake deal.
You can't make a handshake deal, but there's no reason why they can't offer him a reasonable contract back, it was 3 months after trading him.
That's true.
That's how you get the most value, usually. I mean, you're double dipping, but it works quite well.
On the topic of Jim Slater, and I'm going to set aside my love for the GST line and each one of these individual players, but I think when Richie says that they have to find out his market value and then determine if he's worth trading for that and what versus what he could re-sign for, and I think that setting aside how much I think Jimmy Slater's awesome, and Jimmy Slater's one of the guys that's been on this franchise for the longest time, I think 6 years, so he is definitely worth, setting aside what he could bring on the trade market, he's definitely worth a raise on his salary, which I believe is around $1 million, because he's played almost every game this year, if not every game. I think he's missed a couple.
Missed a couple, yeah.
But he's been one of the most consistent players.
He's making $1 million
this year. He's not going to get 50 points. He's going to get some goals, but shorthanded and faceoffs. I mean, he's one of the best in the league.
I know we're up against it, but I would quickly want to get I want to get back to Gostad too. I mean, you're talking about a different player in terms of speed level, because Gostad's not a great skater; he's a bigger guy, but he's big. He plays
another
big
guy that's been on Buffalo forever.
Yeah, he's a North Dakota boy. He plays big. He plays shorthanded minutes. He's winning faceoffs at 55%.
Isn't a team like Chicago come to mind? To me, a big guy like
that. To me, a team like San Jose comes
to mind. Or San Jose, yep.
Because you always, San Jose, you dominate the draws, right? Guys like Pavelski, they dominate the draws. You want to be strong up the middle. I realize they have Hanzus. You love to add a Gostad up there. You dominate the draws. You have better penalty killing. You haven't had good penalty killing this year.
If you put Gostad there, you're pretty deep up the middle. You're four deep up the middle pretty well.
And you're big up the middle.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're saying that Michael Hanzus is your number four center, you're doing okay there.
Right.
I mean, that's a team built for long-term success.
And they need depth on their bottom six. They absolutely need depth on their bottom six.
San Jose won last night. Ben Ferrio. I mean, that the team looks
getting
really,
opportunity.
Really good.
Sorry, he's getting an opportunity to play where Havlat would play.
Yep.
I mean, you look around. I mean, there's not a ton of those sort of the third line centermen that are going to be available. There's Gostad potentially. There's
Slater.
Slater, Dominic Moore, who we spoke about earlier. These are all the guys who are sort of the fit into around that role.
Guys who have got second round picks.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what the closer the...
But the question is, if you can't get Slater to resign, because I think you should consider it, then you want to see what you can get for him, and you have to kind of choose one or the other. Is he too expensive to sign, in your opinion?
On February 28th, if Jim Slater is still a Winnipeg Jet, it better be because they're going to re-sign him.
Yep. I'll be very happy.
Yeah, let's leave it there. When we come back, more about the Winnipeg Jets. You're listening to Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. 1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com. A transaction regarding the Winnipeg Jets, as just reported or just tweeted out by Scott Brown, the Jets' Director of Corporate Communications. The Winnipeg Jets have reassigned Aaron Gagnon to the Ice Caps of the AHL. They've activated Tim Stapleton from the injured reserve. Richard?
You know, Drew, I'm not exactly the biggest Aaron Gagnon fan, but I thought that line's been playing pretty well. The problem, of course, is you have a guy who has, that you can send back on a two-way contract.
Yeah.
You get it bind. I personally don't know. Like, Tim Stapleton isn't anything to write home about. Considering the way that line's been playing, Aaron Gagnon with Bermistrov and Mietinen, aside from the fact that there's a contract flexibility there, I don't think Stapleton should have been pushed into the lineup. Just based on pure play, I thought Gagnon's played fine. That line has played pretty well. So, I mean, you have the problem there of whether you want to, eat the contract. Eric Fair hasn't played at an NHL level, but you're still keeping him on the roster. It's a 13th. So, I mean, money is a factor here, and I understand that. But let's say it as it is. I mean, money is a factor here in the decision-making.
Sure. I mean, for today's game against Pittsburgh, which gets underway here on TSN 1290 at 1 o'clock.
Tim Stapleton, I mean,
yeah, I mean, that's a fair... That's
I love they're like, oh, Tim Stapleton's out of the lineup of the Jets, so Tim Stapleton's injured. Oh, no, I mean, wait till he comes. I was like, what? Tim Stapleton? So that's what we're waiting for? Fans are paying that much money to wait for Tim Stapleton to come back? Dear God. Come on.
And Aaron Gagnon was in the lineup for a few games, and he actually did very well in the face-off circle, and he's a physical guy. He's not specific.
Bigger than Stapleton.
He's not going to be an offensive superstar at the NHL level.
No.
He's going to be a fourth liner, and he was given a good opportunity and was picked up in the offseason. But Tim Stapleton has been there all year, and Claude Noel, he's become a Claude Noel favorite. But the most important thing right now is that, aside from Bogo, who I believe is still a game-time decision.
Game-time decision.
We'll let everyone know if we hear anything off-air. And obviously that's going to be huge because I know we're going to get into this next segment, but Jordan Staal is coming back this afternoon. But the Jets, the positive news is the Jets are relatively healthy right now. I mentioned Bogosian, but, the Jets have a really good opportunity here to stay. They're far away from being close to the playoff race. They're in it, but we should mention that they have played more games than almost every other team that's within striking distance of them. But they are healthy right now, and Kyle Wellwood will give you more offense than Fairwood, and then Stapleton will most likely give you a little bit more of an option maybe on the power play that Gagnon would. But as far as I'm concerned, that's minor. The key thing for the Jets right now is that Kane is starting to get better as he plays more games after missing those games, and the top line is going. So Stapleton and Wellwood coming back, curb your enthusiasm. Obviously, you know, these guys haven't been tearing it up that much, even though, once again, Wellwood has been one of the most consistent players for the Jets offensively. And that's just another another sign that they've struggled to get offense from anybody but Blake Wheeler, Evander Kane, and you know, the usual characters.
Let's get into that. I mean, you have to – Wellwood's an upgrade on Eric Fair, because Eric Fair at this point in time is not a National Hockey League player. I mean, let's just call it as it is. He's not a National Hockey League player. He's moving too slow out there. I mean, he's not doing anything. He's got 2 points in 30 games. Just doesn't fit in. So let's just put that out there. The Ladd Little Wheeler line. Why is that still together?
It was together, obviously, because Kane was out.
Yeah, Kane's back.
But Kane is back now, and we've said this before. We said this earlier in the season, but Evander Kane is your first line left winger. Period. And he was out. He missed his time. He got the very huge goal against Washington late in the game.
I mean, it's a 6-on-3 situation.
No, I know.
We should be scoring on a 6-on-3 situation.
Well, no. We shouldn't be.
We should be.
Right, and we did.
I know. So, I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I thought Kane played a lot better game on Thursday.
He certainly
than he did on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
But the most important thing is, and what I want to say, Drew, is that even though, whether you think the Jets are going to make the playoffs or not, regardless, just for the way the team's going to play for the next 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about Evander Kane and getting him having a good solid 2 months for him.
If what we've said from the start is ride your horses, your best two forwards are, look, just go Kane, Little, and Wheeler. It worked before.
Yep.
There's no reason why to break. I mean, the only reason you broke it up is because of injury. Put it back together. They had chemistry, and it worked.
You know, and to be honest, Drew, you know, I hate when teams don't change the lineup because of wins. I mean, the Jets don't score, so there's a need to change the lineup. If you're putting Stapleton in with where Gagnon was, there's no saying that line will have any chemistry. So why not change it up a bit and play, play, as we said, Little, Wheeler, and Kane, the best line we've had to date on the team, the Jets have had on the team to date. And then you throw Ladd in there, and maybe you put Ladd and Antropov and Burmistrov together.
Well, no. But Burmistrov, we know, is only allowed to play a fourth-line role. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but you're right. Ride your horses. How many times do we have to say
I don't understand why we haven't seen Antropov and Burmistrov together.
Especially considering that...
Antropov looks terrible out there. I mean, give him something to play with.
Especially because, Antropov and Burmistrov were going well for the first, 10 games of the season.
Right, but now we're approaching the 60th game of the season.
I bet you what we're going to see today is, if they do go back to that top line...
You're going to see Ladd, Antropov, and Wellwood together.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, and Ladd, Antropov, and Wellwood, as we've discussed before, the only time they have any success is when they have a tic-tac-toe passing play. And right. Guess how many tic-tac-toe passing plays you have in the course of an NHL game, especially against a quality opponent like the Pittsburgh Penguins. Not very many. So that you're neutering that second line.
And let's talk about Bogosian.
Well, let's talk. Why is Bogosian so important this game as opposed to other
games?
Well,
because what happened, Drew, this is exactly, let's talk about this. The Jets, generally speaking, like to match their defensive pairings against other teams' offensive pairings, but they also split it up a bit with Bogosian and, Hainsey, who's playing with now, logging minutes against the top line, and then Bufflin and Enstrom also log in. So they don't have to match specifically all the time, although they like to do that time to time. With Pittsburgh prior to today, I mean, obviously Crosby's out. And
right.
Pittsburgh prior to today, the top line is Malkin, Neal, and Kunitz. And that line's been great. I mean, great, just great players there, okay? You could match up Bufflin and Enstrom against that line if you wanted to. And with Bogosian. And cause especially when you're on the road, you have to kind of pick two pairings you're going to have because you can't always pick what you want, right?
Yeah, you're not always going to be able to match up.
You don't get last change.
Right.
Today, Jordan Staal comes back. So now what happens is you don't have Bogosian.
Which we're not sure of yet.
Right, but if he doesn't play, I'm saying.
Right.
If he doesn't play, then you have your Bufflin Enstrom pairing, then you have either, who are they going to play? They're going to play Hainsey with Oduya, they're going to play Hainsey with Jones and Oduya with Stewart. That's, they've been playing Hainsey with Bogosian, then Oduya with Stewart. What are they going to do there? Either way, you have Jordan Staal, very good player, up against defensive pairings that aren't great defensively.
Right.
So, for all that Mark Stewart does, and he's the kind of guy you want on your team, he block shots, does everything. I mean, he got beat twice in the power play last game for not making the best reads. He's not the fastest defenseman. He's not the best puck mover. He's a heart and soul guy. Oduya certainly makes his fair share of mistakes. Hainsey as well. Jones not very fast also. So, with Jones and Stewart in the same lineup, you really have a lack of speed on the back end. Oduya and Hainsey can both skate, both make some defensive errors. They're not great on the boards, both of them. Not very strong on the boards. So, You can have a little bit. Gastal can skate, and he's good on, he's strong on the board. So it's going to be interesting.
Without Bogosian, you got serious matchup problems. Yeah. You're okay maybe against the top line, but after that, there's a distinct drop-off.
And nobody, I mean, the Bufflin against Malkin, because, Bufflin answering against Malkin isn't a great matchup.
Because Dan Bylsma has last change. He can exploit whoever also the Jets have on the ice as a defensive pairing.
And if they can consistently get the Malkin line out against... Now, you have to hope if you're Jets fan, Bogosian plays. But if he's not playing...
You get him against Oduya.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's a tough game. It's a tough game for the Jets here, and they've won two in a row, but there's a lot of guys you got to shut down. James Neal is playing really well. Evgeny Malkin, in my opinion, is the Hart Trophy guy, the winner. He's having an MVP season. He's unreal. Scored that really nice goal in the shootout.
They shouldn't be allowed to do that move in a shootout.
You know what they shouldn't be allowed to do? Have shootouts.
Well, that I agree with.
I mean, it's an emotion, Drew, that you're pulling. I know you're saying going backwards, but it's an emotion that you're going...
I don't like it. It's impossible to save for a goalie, practically.
Whatever, shootouts.
Well, look, if you want to talk about getting rid of the shootout, that's fine. But if you're going to insist on having the shootouts,
I don't think it's like stopping going backwards, going back. I mean, I don't see that big of an issue. If you're in a goalie, stay in your net. Like,
well, you're trying to play the puck.
The one part I don't like about it is if the player kind of slides into the goalie and pushes him out of the way.
Malkin didn't do that, but you're coming in on an angle, you're stopping on a dime, you're turning. I mean, the goalie's momentum is pulling him the other way. It's...
Drew, more goals. I mean, you watch these games. I mean, I know it's a shootout goal, but any goal. Dear God.
It's a shootout.
Dear God, somebody score.
Yeah, Winnipeg and Washington seem to only score in the third period. Remember when Washington was here earlier in the year?
That was a 1-0 game.
Are we going to break down these games, or are we going to go do that next segment?
Well, let's do that next segment. Okay, yeah. We'll do that. We'll go to break early, and we'll come back, and we'll break down the last two games before the Winnipeg Jets, leading into today's Pittsburgh Jets game, 1 o'clock puck drop here on TSN 1290. You're listening to Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day. Welcome back to the program. Coming up next segment, Mike Colligan of HockeyWriters.com is going to join us to talk about the Penguins. This segment is brought to you by David Carr of Monopoly Realty. David is a lifelong Winnipegger who brings an intimate knowledge and tremendous passion for all things Winnipeg to all of his real estate dealings. Call David at 230-6129 for all your real estate needs. That's David Carr of Monopoly Realty, 230-6129. The week for the Winnipeg Jets couldn't have started off worse if you go back to last Sunday with that that abysmal performance in Montreal.
I hope it wasn't because I was in Montreal.
I assume that you got drunk with the team the night before.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I mean, that was the only natural conclusion I came to.
Yep. On St. Denis, we partied it up.
Yeah.
Did it up real big on Crescent, Drew.
Yeah, exactly. Terrible performance by the Jets last Sunday. I mean, about as low as they've looked all year long.
Well, they played 2 good minutes of hockey. The only problem is there's 60 minutes in a game.
True. But sometimes 2 good minutes of hockey is all you need to do, which is what we saw in Washington on Thursday night.
Two things. You know, I had a great time in Montreal.
A travel agent segment?
No,
Nobody cares.
That's so last week.
Yeah, you're done. You already had your moment in the sun.
Okay, let's stick to observations about the game. How about that?
Well, okay.
When there was a delayed penalty, and Alexander, it was the first period.
Terrible call.
And Alexander Burmistrov scored, and then they didn't call it. Okay, that's fine. We assumed it was an offside, and Ari Bonkon was there, and our friend Jonathan Wald was there, and we both had the same, we were talking about the game during the intermission. We all thought that it was because it was an offside. Someone stepped offside, okay? No, that wasn't the case, and it didn't look offside. It turns out that a Jet had stepped onto the ice prematurely for Andre Pavlik, delayed penalty.
Let me ask you that, by the way.
If that guy's not playing the puck, what's the difference?
Well, first of all, if you're blowing it down, isn't that just too many men on the ice?
Exactly. It should have been a 4-on-4 then.
Maybe I'll find the reffing peculiar. I mean,
it's very peculiar.
Peculiar is a nice word for poor, I think, is what you're saying.
Oh, you're not going to let me give my second observation.
It was a week ago. Nobody cares about that game anymore.
Who's the one that brought it up?
I didn't bring it up.
Go back in the tape. You said, let's start with that abysmal performance on Sunday.
It's true.
You said, let's start with it.
Well, we're finished with it now.
That's a unilateral decision.
Yeah.
This is a cheerocracy, Drew.
So let's go to...
Sorry, Drew, you're the boss.
Let's go Thursday in Washington.
Okay, boss.
Just one of the more bizarre... Well, certainly the most bizarre ending of a game this year.
For
Jets.
Sure. Yes.
I mean... you know, they listless in the first period. Desperately lucky they did that first period.
They come out strong the first 2-3 minutes, and then it's just dominated for the next 15, 16, 17 minutes. It was just, oh, man, I'm lucky to get out of there with a 0-0 tie.
Yeah.
As opposed to a 0-0 lead. Pavlik, obviously, the star of the game period, but the star of the first period especially. He made some huge saves in the second period as well, in the third. But getting down, now, let's talk about the fact that Enstrom's penalty call was brutal.
Just an awful call by the official. Like, Rob Martel was the official.
Three hacks. I hate this whole, if the stick breaks, call the penalty. It doesn't mean it's a huge slash. I mean, you can slash somebody over the side of their leg, and their stick doesn't, you know, the stick doesn't break when you slash, but you slash the guy's stick on a weak point. You know, Andrew Ladd had a shot the other day. He flicked his wrist, and the stick broke.
Those sticks snap, but if you breathe on them.
Right. So they call that, and then, of course, Washington capitalizes. Washington, by the way, a very flawed team. I just don't see the mix there. I don't see how that team is a danger to anybody who's actually got a full
squad. But that's what we spoke about with Neil Greenberg last week, talking about the Capitals, how they're, I mean, you know, Dale Hunter's trying to put a square peg into a round hole there.
Now, they miss Backstrom and Green, so you can't have a full, you know, we don't have a full analysis of their squad. But yeah, I mean, I do see the flaws in that team. So they get it, you know, they come and they capitalize, no pun intended, with the Ovechkin goal right away. Every goal's on the power play in that game. Simmons scores right after. Very, very beautiful. Beautiful shot by Ovechkin in the first goal. Beautiful pass by Ovechkin on the second goal.
Just a backdoor pass to Semin cutting in.
And then you're the Jets, and...
Well, I thought that game was over.
I have to say, I give full credit to Claude Noel for pulling the goalie.
5-on-3 situation. I mean,
Turns it into a 6-on-3.
Yeah, it was but he had pulled the goalie before that also.
6-on-4.
He had pulled it to make it 6-on-4.
Right. It increases your odds. I was actually reading a paper on it yesterday. It increases your odds of scoring. Obviously, it increases your odds of being scored on. But
when you're down 2-0, what's the what's the harm?
And, you know, Dennis Bayak in the broadcast mentioned, you know, maybe you should pull the goalie. Brian Engblom didn't think
he thought it was too early.
And Noel did it, and he was right. So they score, come right back, power play again.
Just, I mean,
But Claude Noel said it too, guys. I mean, it was a complete fluke goal. The Jets haven't got many bounces here.
No, not this year.
Take what you can get.
Yeah, there's no reason to apologize. Look, I mean, how many? Oftentimes the puck doesn't bounce in your favor. Yeah. So when Buffalo can step in, I mean, you know, defenseman's probably. Well, I mean, it's hard to blame anybody there. It's, I mean, nobody's really at fault there. I mean, you can't. It's not like it went off the defenseman's stick. It went off his knee, I think, primarily, and he's out at the blue line. What is he? You know, look, like you said, when the puck bounces your way. There's no need to apologize for it. It happens every now and then, and you take advantage of it.
And you take your W and you run.
Right, and the Jets, it's going to be tough for the Jets to make the playoffs. I mean, they've got a lot of home games coming up. I believe there's 16 home games. I wrote a preview for LegalCurve.com, and I counted the home games, and there's 16, I believe, left. So they do have that nice... They have that nice homestand coming up. But the thing that I liked about these last two wins against Toronto and Washington, they were behind... in both games, and you know, these are big character building wins for a team that a lot of these guys are still going to be here next year. It's a very young team, and wins like this, they're fun for the fans. I mean, we were at the cheer, and it was unbelievable how nuts people went when Buffalo scored 12 seconds after. But the Toronto win at home was very key because Toronto had been playing very well. I believe they were undefeated in 6, winners of 3 in a row. But these are very important wins for a team. We've talked about the road versus the home and how bad they've been on the road. But this has been a team that hasn't come back when they've been down after two periods. I think that this has been, you know, one of their the Toronto win was one of their first wins when they were down by two. So these are big wins for the team's psyche,
Toronto,
in my opinion.
Washington, you mean?
Washington. There was two. All the goals were in the third period.
They were down two, and then they came back.
Right.
So Toronto, they were up, and then they
went to the third. Well, they were down to Toronto 1-0.
They were up going to the
third. Yeah, they were up going to the third.
Big wins for a team that hasn't had a lot of those types of wins.
And two teams you're competing with.
A week ago at this time, it was almost...
Given the last rights.
I mean, they're given the last rights, especially after that Montreal loss. And the assumption was that the only way that they were going to have a chance to get into the playoffs is through the number 3 seed. If you look at the Eastern Conference standings,
they can still beat.
They can
Toronto
still get into. I mean, Ottawa's 3-6-1 in their last 10. They're struggling.
Ottawa's been tanking,
I mean, the Jets are now 4 points behind Toronto and Ottawa. The difference is, or 5 points behind Ottawa. The difference between them and, say, the Florida Washington Southeast Division lead is their games in hand. Are not as significant for the bottom of the Eastern Conference. Toronto's got a game in hand on the Jets, and the Jets have a game in hand on the Senators.
True.
So, I mean, you know, Jets win one of those games, they're, you know, and the Leafs or the Sens lose, you know, all of a sudden they're either 2 points back.
And that Toronto game was huge, and I like the way they shut it down in the third, and the Jets, with a lead, didn't get the puck, the play taken to them. In fact, I thought they took the play to Toronto.
Well, the last 90 seconds when Toronto's desperate to get into the Jets zone and pull Gustafsson from the nets, they couldn't get past center.
Good flow game. It was good speed in that game, kind of the game the Jets actually excel at. And I thought they, again, there's lack of scoring there, but I thought they played a pretty strong game defensively. I thought they, did a lot of good things. And you mentioned, Drew, you know, they shut it down at the end there. And a game like, you know, it's funny though, because it's a game to game league. You lose today, well then where are you again? I mean, that's just how it is. And you put it into perspective, but. Yeah, you know, this game with Pittsburgh is a big game. Pittsburgh is a team that doesn't have their best player. Obviously, a well-oiled machine, far better than the Jets are.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you catch them early in an afternoon game. I mean, I don't think it's likely, but you never know.
There's a talent discrepancy on the ice today that is going to be difficult for the Jets to overcome.
Yes.
I mean, there's a talent discrepancy on the ice most days when the Jets play.
Yep.
There certainly is against Washington, even though, I mean, if you just look at it on paper, but for whatever reason, Washington just doesn't seem to be clicking chemistry-wise for the most part. But, you know, that's why, I mean, it's cliche, but, you know, I'm not sure why Pittsburgh would be looking ahead. It's not like they have any, like they play again tomorrow or anything.
And they've been playing very well. And Jordan Staal coming back is unbelievable. I've been a huge Jordan Staal fan, and I know everyone knows that he's good, but he's still very young, and everyone talks about how good he is defensively. He's very good offensively, and he, I think he has 15 goals, he almost had 30 in his second year in the league, and I think with that boost, that's huge for the.
Because you're not a one line team anymore. That's what it makes. It doesn't make you a one line team.
He's a very dangerous guy. He was a huge part of the Stanley Cup champion team, and I think you're right. The Jets, in my opinion, they're going to need. A defensive effort. Without Bogo there, they're going to need Jones to step in and just and play very well in the minutes he's allotted.
That's trouble for them, though, Ezzy.
Right.
And then you look at the offense, too. They can't score. I mean, let's talk about it. They haven't scored. They can't score, period. And the defensive style, they play a defensive style, and that's what Claude Noel, we talked about it last week, that's what Claude Noel employs to give his team the best chance to win.
Yeah.
But and the defending is going to be an issue today. But they cannot score. And the lines need to be changed, and we'll see what they do today.
I apologize. Pittsburgh does play. They play a night game tomorrow, Tampa Bay at Pittsburgh tomorrow night. So, I mean, you know, they are well-rested. They haven't played since Tuesday.
Right.
So I
believe they had the day off on Wednesday.
Jets aren't playing a crazy schedule. It's not a back-to-back game.
No,
it's not a back. It was supposed to be a back-to-back game.
Yeah, and they moved it.
This game initially, when the schedule came out, was supposed to be played yesterday.
Yeah, and the Jets are the Jets are well rested, and that little flu bug that was going through the room should be fine. And the Jets don't play again until Tuesday. So
it's actually very nice of Pittsburgh, when you think about it, to agree to play back-to-back. I mean, that's what they've done. They've changed the schedule to accommodate their opponent. In that both their opponent doesn't have to play back-to-back, and now Pittsburgh has to play back-to-back.
True.
I mean, that's I mean, I know, Hockey Day in Canada is important to, and the CBC. And
it's good to include Winnipeg in this game, of course.
Absolutely.
Where is Hockey Day in Canada this year?
PI.
Yeah. I got to tell you, if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins organization, way back in September
it's not back-to-back, though. Drew, you have the entire night off, and then you play the next day.
You have closer to about 30 hours between games, but... Yeah. If they play back to knowing what they know now about the Jets playing in back to back situations.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, you certainly might regret.
I'm gonna put you on the spot here. Who on the Jets is from PEI?
Mark Flood.
That's correct.
Why is Mark Flood not? Why is Randy Jones in over Mark Flood?
Well, apparently they told Mark Flood yesterday to
go buy a place, which is odd because he's a UFA.
Yeah, maybe that's a good sign for him. Why Mark Flood over Randy Jones?
He'll get re-signed.
Why
this
not?
Year,
why Jones over Flood?
Yeah,
that's a good question.
Well, Chevy is going to re-sign him. I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, he's an extra defenseman. Let's not get carried away here, but extra defenseman and,
he's an extra defenseman. I'm an extra analyst on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
That's very true. We know that. Absolutely. Let's leave it there. Let's go to break. When we come back, Mike Colligan from HockeyWriters.com is going to join us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day, live on TSN 1290.